Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
First, sir, thank you very much for doing this interview with me on the 680 News line. I know you've been traveling and you've been extremely busy, but definitely honored to be able to speak to you, sir. First, I got to ask you how you're doing and how your travels have been so far for you, because, again, I know you've been extremely busy.
Yes, I've been a little bit too busy in that story of my life, but then again, I shouldn't complain. It's better than the opposite.
Absolutely.
And this tour, it started with some difficulties. And our flight, British Airways flight from Brussels to London, was delayed. We missed connection. Got stuck overnight in London, and finally arrived to Washington, D.C. On the day of the concert in the afternoon, just a couple of hours before the only rehearsal and then immediately concert. So, of course, it was not ideal and not easy. But the hall in Bethesda was absolutely fantastic, I must say. I was very, very impressed. And the audience was so nice that I really enjoyed it. And despite having to play every day, next day already in New York and every Fisher Hall, and last night in Boston Symphony Hall, I'm enjoying very much this tour and looking forward to next concert in Toronto.
And, sir, how many – now, this is a part I wasn't sure. Is this the first time you're playing in Toronto, or it's been several years since you played in Toronto?
Oh, it's actually been over 30 years since I played in Toronto last time. First and last time, actually, the only time. And so it's about time, I guess, for my so-called comeback.
And, you know, again, we're just so thrilled that you're going to be – part of all this. I have to talk to you about your career, of course, which has spanned for so many years as a cellist. Talk about growing up and the love of music, you know, entering your life and how that all began. Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you have a brother that also was a performer, sir?
Yes, I was the last third child in the family, and my older sister, who is almost 10 years older than me, is a pianist. She still lives in Israel. And my older brother, who was 6 years older than me, started as a violinist, but then switched to musicology, organ, and harpsichord because of his passion to Bach. And he wrote a big dissertation about Bach. And so I grew up surrounded by music, not just from the moment I was born, but I guess even 9 months earlier, starting 9 months earlier. And but then when it was my turn, so to say, my mother decided, and two children trying to become musicians is enough. And she wanted at least one child to be normal. I was anything but normal. When people ask me what age I start playing cello, I always say it was rather late by standards of Soviet Union at the time. It was the same year when I quit smoking. And people say, that late? I said, yes, I was 8 years old. Because I was experimenting with smoking between the age of 5 and a half and 8. But then I quit and never smoked again, so maybe it's not so bad after all. And it was me who, even though at the age of 7, I went to so-called normal school, not music school. But 1 year later, I suddenly announced that I want to play cello. And I was an incredibly hyperactive child and couldn't sit more than 5 seconds in one place. So nobody could imagine me sitting playing cello. So they tried to convince me, and it was a moment of temporary insanity. However, I was insisting, and here we are.
Well, sir,
about 56 years later, I still try to play cello.
Well, you've had, again, a remarkable career. Of course, you placed, what was it, back in 1966, the Tchaikovsky competition. You were a part of that. You know, conservatories, I mean, you studied at several of them. But then in 1970, sir, you were imprisoned. Can you talk a little bit about that? What happened?
What happened was that my sister, with her family, immigrated to Israel in 1969, and the authorities, for them it was indication, then eventually I will follow her. and they realize that I want to finish my education and get diploma of Moscow Conservatory with Rostropovich, which at the time, of course, I couldn't do anywhere else, and then leave. And that's what made them very angry. And they tried to do everything in order to not to let me this opportunity. But I was a very good student and very well-known student, being prize winner of Tchaikovsky competition. And I was one of the favorite students of Rostropovich at the time. So they just made my life difficult by not letting me to go abroad, and my concerts were canceled and so on. But I still was studying. So they realized that if they don't do something dramatic, I eventually will finish conservatory. So I was arrested and put to jail, where I spent 4.5 months and then 14 months in labor camp, shoveling cement instead of playing cello, as I always say, building communism, obviously and successfully. And then I spent 2 months in mental hospital in order to avoid military service. So as I say, always say that even though I never did receive the diploma of Moscow Conservatory, I think I got much more complete life education. So actually, I not only don't regret it and don't have any bitter feelings about it, but in a way, I'm even grateful for having had this experience, because I believe it was very important, as difficult as it was important part of my life, which helped me to mature and develop my personality as a human being, which is connected to one's personality as an artist.
You eventually did come to North America, and thank God, with so many recordings, over 50, and you've recorded with so many orchestras throughout the world. What is your favorite orchestra to perform with, and why?
Oh, you know, it's always most difficult question when I have to point out my favorite composer, favorite piece of music, favorite anything, basically, because there are so many wonderful composers, of course, or places in the world, or orchestras. So I don't have any one favorite orchestra, but of course, the fact that I had this incredible privilege to play and make recordings with such orchestras as Vienna Philharmonic under Leonard Bernstein, and Berlin Philharmonic under Zubin Mehta, and London Symphony, and Orchestre de Paris, and Orpheus Chamber Orchestra without any conductor. I consider myself very lucky and privileged, and all of this in Israel Philharmonic, of course, too, and many other orchestras, which can be considered some of the greatest orchestras around.
And again, it is going to be an honor to have you here in Toronto to perform. If there is one thing that you want the Toronto audience, for those who have heard your music, or of course having a chance for the first time, because as you said, it's been over 30 years since you've been here, what is the one thing that you hope that they're going to learn and feel through your music?
Oh, I hope very much that they will enjoy and appreciate great music that we are privileged to play as musicians, as much as I personally enjoy sharing it with people in the audience, because I try very hard always to reach people's hearts through music. I believe it's not enough just to reach people's ears with musical sounds, or even their mind with certain musical ideas. I believe what makes the difference between very good musicians and great artists is this emotional element, which helps us to establish, at least sometimes, direct link from heart to heart. And that's what becomes unique and unforgettable, which people cannot, or at least I cannot explain with words, but it's something which touches you in a certain way, which you might remember the rest of your life.
Sir, going to wrap this interview up. I want to say again, it is definitely an honor and a privilege to speak with you, and I know so many fans are looking forward to you being here on May 3rd at Roy Thomson Hall for your concert. Thank you again for the interview, sir.
It's my pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.